everybody, and welcome to today's Power Up episode with Maud Garrett, the one and only. Oh, you're on this side. Here we go.
I'm on this side. High five. Oh my gosh, both of us got it wrong.
Yes! We did it! It'll take us forever to figure this out. Hi, everybody. Welcome to those of you who are here watching this live on the Twitch channel, or those of you who are watching this in the future on the Geek Bomb YouTube channel, or those of you who are listening to this in the future on all the places that you get your podcasts.
Thank you so much for joining us for Power Up this week. Every single week, though, Trisha and I get together and we talk about what we are currently playing, watching, and reading. Every other week, we get a guest on. But I tell you what, this episode, we thought we'd do a little bit of both. But we are going to talk about what we are playing, watching, and reading. We're also going to be taking some comments, not only with the live viewers in the Twitch chat, but also if you are a backer for Geek Bomb's Patreon at patreon.com/geekbomb, we prioritize your questions too in a little segment we call Bombs Away, which will feature at the end of P, W, and R. But I'll tell you what, it's still locked down. And it will be for a little bit longer. So
like shelter in place? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to be doing this for a while. Maud and I, before we went live today, I was just talking about how, like, I'm so happy it's Friday because I am fried. I am fried. How are you feeling, Maud?
Well, it's technically my Sunday, if that makes any sense to you guys at all. Yeah, yes. I work different days of the week, so it's even harder to figure out what day it is. Sure. I just wake up and I'm like, do I have to get up now or can I play a little bit of Animal Crossing? You know, they're my days.
Well, and that's honestly why I'm so glad that we're doing the show too, because I know I just tweeted it out, but I was like, what's everybody playing, watching, and reading this weekend? Because thank God it's Friday, and yeah. I need to escape into stuff. So come join Maud and I as we tell you what to play, watch, and read.
Play, watching, and reading is so great for me because my day job is to watch a whole lot of content and to form opinions on them. So I figure if I'm going to watch all this stuff anyway, I may as well share everything that I've learned with you guys as well. Plus, on the side, I'm playing video games, and I'm in a book club. So really, PWR is my triforce at the moment.
Ah, yes. Well, with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into playing and bring in Amy for What's Going Off.
Yes! Hi, Amy, Cassandra.
Yeah. How are you? Hi, good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good to see you.
You too. So let's kick it off with this PlayStation 5 gameplay. Trish, I know you tweeted about this and you were super pumped. So, yeah, we got our first ever real-time PS5 gameplay. It was demoed with Unreal Engine 5. Unreal Engine 5 actually drops in late 2021, which is a whiles away. We still got some time. But the film quality is actually comprised of millions/billions of polygons, which I don't know much about what that means. I just know that it looks gorgeous, because if you look at it, hello. It supports next-gen, current-gen, PC, Mac, iOS, Android, everything. I think we've also talked about other kinds of gameplay on the show, and I think what's so stunning is just how beautiful it looks. It looks like a movie. Fans everywhere were freaking out. Like I said, Trish, you were.
Yes, I was. Yeah, I was definitely freaking out. The part that I tweeted, the specific part of the demo that I tweeted, people were like, yeah, but that's a cinematic. And I was like, they're saying it's a tech demo, but they're saying it's a playable tech demo, which means that is someone actually playing that, which is
insane.
That
was my first thought as well.
Right?
Yeah, because usually when you see the best part of a game, it is a cinematic part. And you're like, well, this is amazing. And then, of course, when you start playing, you're like, I'm just waiting for this to look as good as what I saw. So to say that it's playable, yeah, gameplay in it is breathtaking. But it also at the same time, Trisha, we've been playing video games for decades. And the evolution between the systems is super crucial and important. And I've been waiting for this next gen and what it's going to look and feel and sound like for a little while. So I needed something like this to be like, yay, like, now yeah. I'm feeling like my PS4 is getting a little clunkier and dated, and now I can see where we're going, and that's exciting.
See, and it's funny for me to hear you say that, because in my opinion, the big selling point for new consoles generation after generation has been like, look at this massive improvement in graphical quality. And the PS4 still has some really stunning and beautiful games. So I don't know the jump that we're going to get in graphical quality between PS4 and PS5 or current gen and next gen, whichever platform you choose to speak about, is going to be quite as impressive as it has been in console gen's past, if that makes sense. So I feel like maybe marketing should even kind of shift away from saying, but look at these graphics, to, and look at the lack of loading screens, and like talk about some of the other improvements that might really and sell this for people.
Like, when are we getting into haptic suits, you know? When are we slowly going into the Oasis? So that, for me, I think is great. PlayStation, if you were like, once you have it, you won't have to update for 6 months, I'd be like, because I feel like every time I button on my PlayStation, it's like, oh, one moment, please. Same as my Switch, actually. It's just a constant series of different updates. So I mean, I understand why they're doing it, and it's for improvements, but that could be cool. What are some of the other ways that we could go in the future of gaming, aside from...
I mean, honestly, I think that the next thing that's going to happen once we get 5G more universal is that game streaming, the way it was initially promised, will probably be more accessible to people. And I think that's going to change things from a hardware focus to more of a software focus, because it won't matter what hardware you have. Now, much in the same way that music enthusiasts still collect records, I do think there's still going to be people, probably myself included, that are like, but I really love having my PC hardware, and like the fact that I built, the better hardware and machine that I build, the better my games look. Like, there's really something to love about that, and a whole culture around that that I don't think is going to be ready to give that up anytime soon. But once we really do get to the point where you can walk around and stream a AAA game to your phone while you're, you know, on the train or on your commute to work or whatever, I think that that's going to be where gaming goes. I would also love to see, as you mentioned, mod haptic feedback suits, get us really into the Oasis and Ready Player One, and make that happen. That would be really nice. I just, people that watch this channel know I just had a massive VR stream on Wednesday that was crazy. Yeah. So now my studio is set up to stream VR, which is not something that I thought I'd be tackling anytime soon, but I did it. And we were playing some Half-Life Alyx, and it was terrifying.
Oh, really?
Oh, scary. Yeah. And also, I'm going to throw this out into chat right now, and I'll share it with all the Geek Bombers on YouTube as well. But if anyone's interested in getting into VR, I'm currently partnering with AMD to do a massive giveaway, and you can win the graphics card, the headset, and a copy of the game Half-Life Alyx that's the exact thing that I used. So I'll throw that up into chat right now.
Trisha, did you happen to bump into the wall during that?
Oh, I sure did. Yeah, did you see that?
Comments are totally just airing all your...
Oh, yeah, I did. I ran smack into the wall. I accidentally gonged my gong with the Vive controller. And I freaked myself out so much that it took me, like, you know how when you have, like, 7 cups of coffee and your heart's just doing this? Yes. I was that for, like, 30 minutes after that stream. No joke.
It looks terrifying.
No joke. So, yeah, let me get you guys.
I still got the quest.
Oh, the quest is amazing.
I still have to take it out of the box and play it. I've had it for, like, 8 months.
The quest is really good.
I keep hearing that. One of these days, chat, viewers, I promise you. I just realized I have to keep that now. I will try to play the quest. Here, that is my quest.
I mean, you didn't say when, so as long as you do it.
Gotta check those T's and C's.
There we go.
I mean, thank you so much for showing us what is going off in terms of news. Trisha and I are going to start exploring what we have been playing the last 2 weeks. We'll see you in a little bit, Amy.
Yay! All right, Maude, what have you been playing?
That's watching.
Oh.
I have... Oh, oh, uno momento.
Maude, what have you been playing?
I have been playing a game called Heroes of Might and Magic 3. Now, this is something that I've spoken about before in a lot of detail because I played this game on the PC with my family growing up. It is a turn-based strategy game where you have different castles and citadels and different sort of like types of armies that you can create and generate and take over different parts in this sort of like somewhat of a sandbox table bird's eye view where you have heroes to traverse around. Yes.
We are long lost sisters. I spent so much time playing Heroes of Might and Magic 3 on the PC as a tiny human. I'm with you. This game's amazing. This game is so, so, so good. It was my introduction into turn-based strategy and games that operate like this. And yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh my gosh, it's, I don't know, and I'm trying to figure out if it's because I played it when I was younger, that's why I still love it so much, or if it still to this day is a really, really good game. So if you're watching and you need a game to play and you want to spend $10 on GOG.com, jump on there, get it, play it, tell me what you think, because I've been playing it again. I found a couple of years ago the original just basic Heroes of Might and Magic 3 that you could play on iPad. Mm-hmm. So I immediately bought that, but then played sort of like 40 hours of it and realized that it wasn't the expansions. So it was just the base kind of like maps and levels. And right. I played it and I was like, oh, I needed more. And then I found out that it was on sale on Steam for like $3.79. And I was like, I have to tell everyone about this. And so when I tweeted it, someone said, you know, you can get all the expansions for $10. And I was like, oh! So immediately downloaded it. And I've clocked about 30 hours in the last week alone on it, which is not so bad on terms of the fact that, you know, on top of the fact that I'm working a 50-hour work week as well, 6 days. So like I was playing it for 2 hours before this, and it was really hard for me to actually stop to start working again.
Yeah, it's an addictive game. Beautiful. Oh. Maude, I have a funny story I have to tell you about Heroes of Might and Magic that goes back to SourceFed. So there used to be a show on SourceFed Nerd. I don't know if it was still going when you were there, but Head to Head, it was a video game challenge show.
No.
One of us would challenge, whoever won the week before, would challenge someone else in the office to a video game head-to-head. And whoever was challenged got to pick the game, traditionally.
Okay.
Phil challenged me one episode, and I said, great, I want to challenge you in Heroes of Might and Magic.
And because it's like, it's local competitive. Like,
he was like, absolutely not. And I was like, what do you mean? I get to pick the game. I was the one challenged. And he was like, that's a boring, stupid old game and no one wants to watch it. Yep. Uh-huh. And I was like, translation, you don't know that game and don't know how to play it and don't want to get your butt kicked in public. That's at least how I interpreted it. He might have said legitimately he didn't think that. I think his thing was turn-based games aren't good to stream because they're not interesting to watch because he preferred to watch a lot more like Halo or, you know, that more fast-paced type of game. But I am glad to find another person that loves Heroes of Might and Magic out there, Maude.
What was your favorite, you know, castle, your favorite base? There was like Rampart, Dungeon, Castle. Oh. So each one of these has different types of monsters that you can, or creatures.
I just remember getting as many griffins as I could.
You're castle-based. Got it. Okay. I'm Rampart because Rampart has this ability where you can unlock a treasury where you gain 10% of whatever income you have at the start of a new week.
Okay,
it's really well done. I bloody love this game, guys. And I'm wondering if anyone else has... people are threatening to unsubscribe Phil's show because of that.
No, please don't. I think he genuinely thought a turn-based old game would not be interesting to watch. And also, this was back in like 2012. So it was before there were so many different types of people streaming so many different types of games. A lot of the games content that was out there was first-person shooter type content and was a lot quicker moving, or comedy-based content where it would be like everybody's playing Castle Crashers while they're drinking and there's witty commentary going on. So I'm sure he was thinking of it from a producer standpoint of what will make good content. But I was also like, thanks for shooting down like the one game I know I can beat you at and the one genre I know I can beat you at. Cool.
Cut to Trish, if that actually happened, she's like, I'm going to get all my griffins and I'm going to make sure they have enough armies and I'm going to collect them all and I'm going to...
Right.
But it's so good.
Yes, that's the plan.
It has one of the best soundtracks I've heard in a game in a while. So that each one of these different castles, you can see in the graphic in the middle, it's a dungeon there. So that's like where you can... At each new week, you can collect new armies. It's so hard to describe, but if you know it, you know it.
It's really good. But SDS just brought up in chat, Phil also thought D&D wasn't streamable. So what does he know? And that's true. That was right around the same time that he told me no one would ever watch a D&D show, which I think was like a few months before Critical Role launched.
So SourceFed D&D. Let's have a look at the views on this one, shall we?
Oh, yes, Maude. When you did finally launch D&D on SourceFed, how many views did it get?
For season one, episode one, 421,453 views.
Riddle me this. Well, as I've said time and time again, I am so glad that you were finally able to do it. I tried with every dying breath to make that happen and got shot down every time. So,
so here's what's up with that. We had a brainstorm meeting. We would do these every now and then just to pitch shows and to kind of like have a bunch of ideas. And I was like, all right, guys. This may sound strange, and you probably never heard it before, but I'd really like to do a D&D show. Keep in mind, this is before Critical Role was airing.
Yeah.
And unanimously, everyone started speaking, going, oh, my God, Trish has been trying to pitch that the whole time. And I was like, why didn't it happen? And they're like, we actually don't know. And I'm like, well, we're making it happen. And it ended up being so huge that when I left, they carried on and continued another season of it. Yay. And then when everything died, I was like, yoink, Fungeons and Flagons.
Yoink, my idea. I love it. I'm so glad that you were able to get revenge. That's like, you revenged my idea, and I appreciate that.
And that's why I got you back on for season two, and like as a staple character. Season one, you were a guest in the finale, and you crushed it in that moment. The last two episodes, I believe, that was spectacular because you like showed everyone else how to play D&D, and everyone's like, "Oh, you can do that!" And you're like, "I take my two, you know." Yeah. What, you had like two silver sides?
I think it was dual wielding. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good time.
What are you playing though?
What am I playing right now? So Half-Life Alyx. I was just kind of talking about it with VR. But because I had my quest, which you can't play Half-Life Alyx on a quest, it's a little more robust than a quest can handle, I wasn't playing it. But then luckily, through the partnership that I am doing for the giveaway right now, I was able to get my hands on a Vive Pro, which is, like I said, the exact headset I'm giving away. A Vive Pro, a fancy new graphics card, and Half-Life Alyx, voila, it's here. Now, that being said, everyone has told me Half-Life Alyx is the game that you need to, like, show what VR games are capable of. A lot of games that are developed for virtual reality right now feel more like demos to show you what the tech can do, and they're not really games that draw you in the same way as other AAAs that are out there. But this is the first time everyone's saying, no, this is a VR game that makes you care about the characters and the plot, and it's really well done, and it's super immersive. So I was very excited to jump into it. Then I will say, it is also terrifying. And it's a scary game in VR mod. And I don't think that it's intended to be as scary as it is. Like, the immersion of
being
in virtual.
What's trying to get you?
Huh?
What's trying to get you?
There's aliens. Aliens and zombies. Alien zombies.
Aliens and zombies.
Yeah. So I think that, fortunately, at least the part of the game I'm in right now, they move slowly, which is better. But like, you know, the music and the atmosphere and the tone and everything just makes it so much creepier that I think if I were playing this on a 2D display in front of me, it wouldn't be scary. But because you're in it, it's terrifying. And that's one of the things that's always so hard in my experience about streaming virtual reality experiences, because the audience can never experience it to the same level that you're experiencing it. So I've seen a lot of people watch streamers who are in virtual reality and say, oh, they're faking it. They're not really that scared. Like, this isn't that scary. But it's so hard to convey how terrifying it is when you're in there.
I'm not with this.
So, I wonder, yes, you had sure like a million clips of me freaking out. But it was crazy.
Hey, can people watch that on your Twitch? If they are on your Twitch right now, is it a previous video that they can go back and check
out? Oh, yeah. It's a VOD, and I'm actually going to put a highlight cut up of a lot of these scarier clips on my YouTube channel, probably on Monday.
And where can people find out more details for the giveaway and the competition that you're having?
So I'm posting the link in chat right now, but Maud, I will also send it to you after we record, so that if you want to share it with Geek Bomb, either the Geek Bombers on the Patreon or the Geek Bombers on the YouTube channel or whatever, because as many people as want can join it, and it's international shipping and all sorts of stuff. So I'm just excited. There's also two winners, I should say. There's going to be two winners, and each of the two winners get the whole prize package. So you get the graphics card, the headset, and the game. And two different people are going to win that whole prize package. Maud, you can enter.
So if you would like to have this shit scared out of your body, make sure you apply for that one.
Yes. Here, I'm going to put the giveaway link in chat one more time, unless you missed it the first time. But yeah, and we'll share with you fun too.
Would my game be fun? That'd be a no. No, because I wouldn't be able to see it.
You won't do it.
And then I have an axe in my knee. Ugh. Well, there we have it. That is playing at the moment. We've discussed what we are playing. What are you playing? Let us know in the chat. Let us know in the comments. Amy, are you back for a little bit of Bombs Away?
Yeah.
Yay.
What have we got today?
Oh my gosh, that was terrifying. I don't know if you could hear that. Do you hear
what happened?
Do you hear that?
What?
No. There's like massive banging. I got really scared. Let's move on. That was terrifying.
Are you okay?
You are not allowed to play Half-Life Alyx.
That just like came to life. I don't know what just happened. Oh my god, I'm so scared.
Is this a bit?
No, guys, not a bit.
Amy's final destination is her time's up. So can we, let's get to the question.
Oh god, that was really scary. Okay, so yes, Bombs Away Q&A. This first question is from a Patreon bomber backer. Of course, I am also going to get a question from you guys watching right now on Twitch. So please send in your questions. Okay, so this first one is from James Smith. In your opinion, graphics aside, is the Final Fantasy VII remake better than the original?
Unfair question. Unfair question, because the remake is only a part of the story.
The what?
Oh, I hear that banging now.
Yes, hello.
Am I crazy? Trick or treat.
Let's pretend one of your neighbors is hanging a painting.
Yeah.
That's the sweetest thing. That's like every time there's a siren, I was like, oh, someone's dying. And then Alicia would be like, oh, my friend would be like, no, it means that someone's about to have a baby. And I'm like, that is the sweetest, most positive outlook. And I was like, I need more of that. And I just saw Trisha do exactly that.
Well, they almost never ambulance you when you're about to have a baby. They tell you to get your own prego butt there. So figure probably not. But yeah, portrait hanging. And back to Final Fantasy VII. I think it's an unfair question because the Final Fantasy VII remake only covers the Midgar portion of the story, whereas the original Final Fantasy VII is a whole complete story. So if you're just comparing those two, I think the original kills it plot-wise because it's the actual entire story. But who knows? Once we get the entire story from the remake series, because I think that's what they've been hinting at, is that they're going to tell the whole story maybe in a series of remake games for Final Fantasy VII, then I think that'll be a more fair comparison. But that being said, I love the story editions so far, at least. I know people said they weren't super happy with the changes at the end of the remake. No spoilers. I haven't gotten there yet. Maude?
Neither. I kind of bailed on it a little bit. I never played the original. My first ever Final Fantasy was Final Fantasy 12 on the PlayStation 2, and it wasn't even my PlayStation 2. It was my then-boyfriend's PlayStation 2, and he would look up the maps while I would play the game. Well-trained. I was actually thinking about that, how I have impacted every single ex-boyfriend with what, like, their gaming habits.
Good
shout out
you.
To Tom. Sorry about your Overwatch addiction. Eek. but, yeah, no, I've only been playing Final Fantasy 7. I bought 3, 5, 6, 7, whatever they were. They remember how they made them all on the Nintendo DS? I bought them all with very good intentions to play them, and I just never did. I actually think I still have them somewhere in a drawer. There you go. Thanks for the question. Do we have one from Twitch?
We do. This one's from the Catnip Ninja. If we get a game brain link in the future, would you do it?
Wait, if we get a game brain blink?
Link.
Link.
So, like, you can literally plug in or have, like, a chip.
Oh, like an implant.
That's like Black Mirror stuff, no?
Instead of cyborg, I'm a cyborg, mod. But the thing is, it's like as soon as it becomes technological, it has the ability to break or to be taken over. And I don't know if I would want someone to hack me and then turn me off or, you know.
I'm into it. I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Yeah?
Cyborg me up, baby. Give me more immersive gaming.
I would love a cybernetic something.
I am.
Like, you know, R2-D2 can open all the doors and hack into the mainframes and systems with his little... That would be cool.
There's already people that have, like, RFID chips and stuff, like, in their hands. So it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you need my business card? Here, just scan.
Beep.
My skin. Like, that kind of stuff is already happening. But, yeah, if there was, like, a gaming plugin, hell yes. I'm sure... there would be scary things like every episode of Black Mirror that's dabbled with that exact same topic. Yes. But
yeah,
hopefully humanity's not quite as bad as in Black Mirror, right?
Hopefully.
Thank you so much for the questions, both in Twitch and submitted through the Geekbomb Patreon. Thanks so much for having power with us. That is playing done. Stick around, though. Watching will be happening right after these messages.
Yes. Okay, so yes, these messages indeed, and some technical switcheroos. Thank you, everybody, for your patience while we mess with all this stuff.
You!
Doing it.
I still need to figure out how to get my settings of the camera. I look so washed out. I'd like to be more vibrant.
Yes. Anyway. It might be lighting. You're washed out maybe because there's a lot of light.
Yeah, my aura is just blinding.
I also mess with the settings on my webcam like crazy. But anyway, during these breaks, welcome everybody. Thank you. I want to say welcome to everybody who came in during the last portion of the show. Welcome to all the new followers. Thank you so much to Zraken75 for gifting 5 subs. You're an amazing human being. BaoXC127, thank you so much for the 2-month resub. You're an awesome sauce human being. GameWizard001, welcome to the Dragon Riders. Happy to have you here. You are a cool dude. And William Hussar went over to my YouTube and subscribed. Thank you so much for that. Turtle Moose kicked off the show with a resub, and I appreciate you, Turtle Moose Turtle. Sorry, Turtle Moose Turtle. So yeah, welcome to everybody. So if you notice, there are no notifications that pop up as people are following and subscribing, and that's that we don't mess up the audio for when this is ported to a podcast form later on and when this is ported to Geekbomb's YouTube channel. But please know that I love and appreciate you so much and will always shout you out in between segments when I can. As well as if there are people who are like, hey, I want to support this show more than just following Trish on Twitch. Which I love that. Thank you. It's free. Please do it. How else can people do that, Maud?
Just really quickly as well, though, if you do have an Amazon Prime membership, you can use your one free sub on this channel, too. So everyone wins if that happens. But if you'd like to support the show with not only Geek Bomb, but Book Club and a bunch of other things that we do within Geek Bomb, head to patreon.com/geekbomb. We are considered a local business. So support your local business in this time.
Yes, small businesses, we need help. I know. Yeah, I feel like that every day. But yes, please go support Geek Bomb. And there's lots of other perks you get for being, it's not just supporting this show. Maud does tons of different shows and all sorts of stuff that you can support over on patreon.com/geekbomb. So check it out. And BaoXC127, thank you for the bits.
Yee-hoo!
Okay, so
Let's get started with watching.
Watching. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the watching section of Power Up. I'm Trisha Hirschberger, joined by Maud Garrett. And today we're going to be talking about what we're watching.
Yeah, this can be movies. This can be a show that we're binging. This can be anything that doesn't require leaving the house at the moment. And to kick things off, though, I'd like to bring in Amy Cassandra Martinez from Geek Bomb, who's going to be telling us not only some news, but showing us her wonderful face. Hi, Amy.
All the way down.
Hello. Hi.
What's new?
So, what is new? This movie, maybe it'll come out, maybe it won't. Talking about the New Mutants. Yes, this is the 5th release date that this title has had in 2 whole years. So now it is set for August 28th. Deadline reports that Disney still intends on releasing this Fox acquisition theatrically, rather than on their streaming service, which I think is very interesting.
Wow.
Yes. Will it happen? Won't it happen? I really don't know at this point. And the fact that they still want to do it theatrically, really?
It's hard because at least here in Los Angeles County and in California, you know, they're talking about reopening things in phases. And at least from everything I've read, places where you sit and gather all as a crowd in one place for long periods of time are like the last thing that's going to open. Movie theaters, concert venues, like that's going to be the last thing that we get.
Mm-hmm. Just put it on Disney Plus and call it a day.
Just get it out there.
I feel like Disney's in a unique position for that too, because a lot of other major studios don't necessarily have their own streaming platform. Disney already has their own streaming platform, so it really makes sense.
Yeah, Yeah, and I just feel like stop delaying sort of like the life force of this property. Like, stop playing with emotions. Just get it done and let's celebrate it, you know? You know, if you haven't heard of the New Mutants, this is a property that is supposed to be very, very X-Men based, but instead of it being like a superhero genre, they've switched the genre to horror. They finished filming this about 2 or 3 years ago. I joked that everyone in this photo is now 30. Some people got the joke, some people didn't, but you know what, that's fine. But the cast is really, really cool. You got Maisie Williams, who we all know as Arya from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. There is Anna Taylor-Joy, who has been in a bunch of movies, who's basically someone that you need to have on your radar ASAP. I first saw her in, what was the James McAvoy, M. Night Shyamalan, starts with S.
Signs.
Nope.
Split.
Split. Thank you. Yep. Split. Bonus points for Hector. Split. That's where I first saw her. She's just been in a new movie called Emma. I think she was working on something with Edgar Wright, which probably was so top secret and I wasn't allowed to say that. And I only just remembered after I said it. So enjoy
maybe.
It.
Wolfmeister in chat says a theatrical release is probably an easier way for them to track genuine consumer interest than releasing it as just another title on a content bloated streaming service. That's interesting opinion. I don't know. I feel like there are not many new films currently released on streaming services, which is in part why I would say Trolls World Tour did so well. Like, just to test this theory, go on your streaming service of choice right now and look at what new movies you could buy. It's slim pickings.
Hector, voice of God, are you interested in seeing New Mutants at all? I'm so curious about your genre.
Yes, and I think at this point I'd wait. I want to see it in theaters because I feel so bad that it has been delayed and delayed and delayed, that if it were to drop on Hulu or Disney Plus or whatever, I would watch it, but at this point I'm in it for the long haul. I want to wait for a theater.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're going to be two ways. You're either going to be so sympathetic towards it because it's just a wounded deer at this point, or you're going to be like, no, you actually think I still care? Yeah, good luck. So that'll be really interesting. But thank you so much, Amy, for the news.
Thank you, and Amy, away for the with news. And everyone in chat is saying that that was the voice of Zelda, which I highly doubt. That
definitely sounds like a Hispanic man, yes.
Mom, let's go on a walk. Mom! Zelda!
Well, that lovely voice that you've been hearing will be joining us in just a bit, where you will actually be able to see his beautiful face as well. But we'll be back.
It would be an absolute waste to not ask Hector about New Mutants. But what are you watching at the moment, Shish?
So this is funny because I started watching Extraction because my husbando was like, I heard this was good and it looks like something I'd like. Let's watch it. And I did not put two and two together that you talked about this on last week's Power Up. It didn't, like, I remember you talking about a movie on last week's Power Up, and I actually watched this and I did not put two and two together that they were the same movie. So
what did you think of it?
I'll be very short about Extraction since we already talked about it, but it was fine. I think it was trying to be much more of a thriller a la Taken than it was.
Yeah.
It was just okay. It was just okay. I wanted it to be more. But I mean, the performances were fine. I didn't find myself really caring about the characters.
The story didn't have substance at all, but it was just a massive flex to showcase that the director used to be a stunt coordinator. Like, he was a stuntman.
Yeah, and the stunt choreo was amazing.
Exactly. And this is what we saw with John Wick. So the stunt choreographers for Matrix moved on to be directors for John Wick, and that series has gone so well. I think this is kind of like the Russo brothers version of a John Wick using, you know, Thor himself. I loved that he was Australian in this, and that they kind of like doubled down on his Australianism by using having fellow actors who were Indigenous, and Indigenous actors just so rarely get on screen time. And I just, that meant a lot to me as an Australian.
Yes.
But also I'm pretty sure he ad-libbed some Australian slang, and there was a moment where he's trying to reverse the truck, and I do apologize because I am about to swear, but he's reversing the truck and he's like, oh, fuck's sake. And I was like, for fuck's sake is one of the best Australian colloquial terms out
there.
Wait,
is that an Australian colloquial term?
For fuck's sake?
I've heard that in America since I was a wee human. Oh.
Well, it's like the way when I guess it's like yours is for fuck's sake. But in Australia, it's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's East Coast. Maybe more prevalent on the East Coast. I mean, I grew up in Philly, and it was definitely not a dainty for F's sake. Yeah, it was definitely like an angry, exasperated for F's sake. But maybe. But the other thing that I've been watching since we really talked about extraction last time is the 1977 Hobbit film, because I introduced my tiny human to Tolkien for the first time, and this is how I decided to do it. So even though we have a little Hobbit graphic novel for him, I thought that the animated 77 film would be the best way to do it. He's into animated films right now. It's not too long. It's not too scary. I mean, especially in comparison to a lot of the Disney films that he's been watching on Disney Plus lately. Like, there's scary stuff in all of them. And I watched it with him, and I answered any questions he had. And, you know, when there were moments where he was, like, a little terrified, we just cuddled up. But he's really into it. And so now he has, like, a little fake sword that he carries around that he says he's going to sting you with it because the sword is sting. Yep. Uh-huh. It's super cute. And that Blu-ray of that film was also my Mother's Day present this year for my husband. And he was like, it's so that we can introduce Logan to the Tolkienverse. Really, so that's what I've been watching lately, because he's three. So once he watches something once, he then has to watch it about 6 million more times. So I have seen that Hobbit animated film at least half a dozen times already this week.
Well, I watched it for the first time a couple of weeks ago, because that was my watching for last week also for book club. And Hector and I did a live tweet, for this movie. It was the first time I'd ever seen it. The Hobbit is a musical. Try to convince me otherwise. And the animation style for me was a little much. Did he get scared of the spiders? Because that spider is whack. Like, that is
scary. Actually, he's very fixated on the goblins. The goblins are scary. Oh. And the spiders, I think the spiders aren't so scary because Bilbo doesn't seem super scared of them. Bilbo's like, and I will sting you, but Bilbo's scared and they're all trying to get away from the goblins. He also thinks Gollum's a little terrifying, and Smaug is very scary, but I think he also really likes Smaug because Bilbo talks to him for a while. And my other favorite thing is, for a while he thought Bilbo's name was Pablo. It was like, so I'd watch cute, that. And I was very into it.
I'd watch Pablo going through Middle Earth.
Maude, what are you watching?
Avatar: The Last Airbender. This is one of my favorite animated series of all time. It came out in Australia on Nickelodeon when I was hosting Nickelodeon in Australia. So have you got the giggles over Pablo? Sorry. For me, like, I had to watch a lot of SpongeBob and a lot of all of those shows, but Avatar: The Last Airbender was my favorite show instantly, and it was something that I loved being able to explore with the audience and kids of Australia, and we would bond over it together. But it is such an amazing series, and it's coming out on Netflix, so we can all stream it together. I covered it on Quibi before it came out, so I had to subscribe to a Nickelodeon subscription service. But if you've never seen this, it's so amazing. Because it looks anime, and it's about a mythological Eastern culture. And they make this series with so much love, and there is such a depth of kindness in this show. But it's basically focusing on four nations that represent an element, so air, earth, water, and fire. And there are particular benders within each of these nations that can manipulate that element. Unfortunately, for airbenders, they've all been wiped out bar one, who happens to be the Avatar, the entity that can manipulate all four of the elements. And so it's all about Aang's journey. And it's so delightful and wonderful, and it teaches without forcing. It just happens so effortlessly, and it nurtures such a strong rapport that it's such a breathtaking show. If you need something for Logan as well.
Do you think it's age appropriate for a three-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there are times where the Fire Nation goes to war, but it's never really like brutal. Yeah.
Catnip Ninja highlighted message in chat says, man, Avatar is such a good series. Shame it never got a movie.
Nope, never got a movie. What a shame. Gosh, it would have been good if someone had actually made that. Well, there you go. So that is my reading. But it is time for watching. That was our watching. So it's
that
time
was
for
our watching. It's time for Bombs Away Q&A with Amy.
Hello. Hi. Yes, what about I'm Kristen? Back. So this first question is from a bomber backer from our Patreon, patreon.com/geekbomb. I will also be getting one from you guys watching right now on Twitch. So this one's from Seb_X. Is there a favorite project you produced or was in that was completed but never released? What was it and what happened?
Oh, that you my can favorite share. Thing that I worked on was Dungeons and Flagons. Something that I worked on that was never released.
I definitely have a lot of those because the year that I left SourceFed for The Escapist, I was under a development contract with Defy Media, and all I was doing was developing new shows.
Same. I left SourceFed so I could work for Defy on a show that never ended up happening. And so when I left, I was like, oh, to pursue a dream gig. And this job was supposed to be a really cool thing. But then it kept evolving. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we're not going to do it. And I was like, whatever. You gave me a deal memo and it got me out of, being sponsored by SourceFed. And I got to have another visa and I can freelance again. So thank you.
Yeah, one of the shows that I made is, this is probably my favorite thing that I've ever made that never saw the light of day. And it was with Pat Kilbane, if anyone remembers Pat Kilbane from Mad TV. He plays a lot of celebrity D&D nowadays. But Pat and I co-produced and made this show that I think at the time the title of it was Hero Metrics. The working title was Hero Metrics. And it was basically... how were we pitching it at the time? It was Mythbusters, but for fandom. So it was kind of like Kyle's Because Science, except for instead of just informational, it was more hands-on and like actual experimentation. And the pilot that we filmed had to do with Mithril Armor and the Cave Troll. And we were asking that, yes, the Mithril Armor might stop the piercing damage, but wouldn't a hobbit-sized rib cage be crushed by the sheer force of the cave troll if you're looking at just the movie? So we rented out a huge stage in the YouTube space and set up a battering ram and did all of these physics calculations to figure out what the blunt force impact would be given a cave troll of that size using like screenshots from the film and all sorts of stuff, and then bought a crash test dummy that was a child size to represent the hobbit stature. And like this was intense. Wow. We did the whole thing, and I won't tell you what our experimentation results were. But so this was a whole pilot that we put together, and I was really happy with it, and Escapist was really happy with it, and they were like, this is the show that's going to bring us back. And then the execs at Defy, and I can talk about them now because they're bankrupt and well-known how crappy they all are, they took my show, and were like, this looks really good. Thank you, Trisha. And then as I kept saying, hey, what's going on with Hero Metrics? They were like, oh, we're good, we'll let you know. Here I come to find out, they start casting hosts for Hero Metrics because friends of mine are called in to audition for it. And they're like, Hero Metrics, isn't that your show? And I was like, yes. So I marched into said executive's office and said, I'm sorry, if you're going to add a third host to the show or replace one of the hosts on my show, given that it is my show and I own it and retain IP to it according to my contract, you need to consult with me before making creative decisions of that nature. And they lost their mind because they were like, you do not own IP. And I was like, reread the contract you gave me, jerks. And I had my lawyer call their lawyers, and it was a big old fatty thing. And what ended up happening was I retained rights to Hero Metrics. Pat and I did. And Defy was like, well, that's okay because Screen Junkies just pitched us something really similar. So we're just going to go with that. And I was like, after you've all seen my pilot.
Oh.
So that's that story. That's my story of like the thing that I was the proudest that I worked on that I really wanted to do. And this was years and years ago. And so now the reason that I wouldn't pitch it now is because I feel like between Game Theorists and Because Science, they cover that realm really well. But in the year that I was pitching this, it hadn't been covered very well. Like it was being covered specifically for movies, but not kind of all fandom culture of like tabletop and video games and movies and a smattering of all of that. But I really loved the concept of that show. And years later, I did approach Pat and I was like, hey, do you want to like try to make another go of this. And he was so burnt by the whole situation. He was like, it's just done. Just let it lie. Because he was so salty about the whole thing.
That's so sad.
Yeah, screw Defy. But I'm not the first person to say screw Defy. So that's old news.
Well, I'm pretty sure Defy got pretty damn screwed. All on their own.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I can have one from me, a couple from me as well. Yeah. There we go. Cool. We got it done. Amy, did you have a question from the Twitch chat?
I do. STS2884 asks, what show do you regret? What show do you regret watching after it ended?
Did I regret watching after it ended?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
Regret watching the whole show or just regret watching it through to the end?
I regret watching the last episode because I was championing Game of Thrones until just after the Night King was destroyed by Arya. And then the two episodes after that, I wish I never saw.
Oh, I 100% regret watching the last season of Game of Thrones. I wish I could take it all back.
I cried so hard, Trisha. I was in London doing a junket and I was frantically trying to find a link or somehow to watch this show. I ended up watching it on my iPhone.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the most miserable thing ever. But then afterwards, I was so let down and so upset because I honestly was still championing it like two episodes before where I was like, you just don't know. It's not over yet. And when that happened, I just felt so empty. I sobbed. Like it was those heaving into a pillow for about an hour. I was so upset.
Yeah.
Good question, though. Yay. That is wrapped up with watching with PWR. Yay. Amy, thank you so much for dropping those bombs for Bombs Away. And don't forget, ask your questions in the chat or submit them through the Patreon. It is coming up. We're going to do some reading with Hector Navarro. But before we get to that, we've got some shout-outs to make. Thank you so much for watching. No, stick around.
Yay! So huge shout out to Sage4 who gifted 10 subs in chat and welcome to all the new Dragon Riders that brought in. And then Nabahe gifted 5 subs. Welcome to all those new Dragon Riders as well. And thank you guys so much for the sub gifting generosity. Normally my alerts going off would say, we are building an army. And I know you can't hear them now, but we are indeed building a Dragon Rider army. And I'm honored to have you all be a part of it. Welcome, of course, to the new followers as well. You are in the Dragon Rider army too. Everybody's here. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. I'm going to go through and change some technical stuff. While you're doing that,
just letting you guys know that both Tifa and I and even Amy have the chat open. So if you are chatting, we can see all of that. You have the ability to highlight comments. Is that using bits, Trish, that they can use bits to highlight?
So, when you highlight comments, that's actually not with bits. It's with channel points, which on my channel are called dragon scales. So the way the dragon scales work are for every minute that you hang out here watching my content, you collect dragon scales. And sometimes bonus dragon scales will be dropped just because, and you can collect them and then you can exchange those for all different types of prizes. Probably the lowest entry dragon scale prize is a highlighted message in chat. So that's the most accessible, but all the way up to one-on-one hangouts or gaming sessions or, something nerdy from Trisha's personal collection because my husband says I'm a hoarder and I have too many action figures and comic books and stuff I need to get rid of. So I will send you something from my personal collection signed and I will mail it to your house. International's fine too. But those are just some things that you can get with your dragon scales.
Nice. Also, we just got raided. Classy librarian.
Classy librarian. Hi, Hector.
Hi.
Hi.
Alrighty, let's crack off with some reading, y'all.
Yes. Okay, so yeah, let's bring Hector in officially and let's do this, Maud.
Sweet. Oh wait, are we doing news first?
Intro first.
News Hector?
Yes. Intro news Hector.
Got it. Cool. So it's time for reading. Get those books open, get your little ears and some audibles. Let's talk about what's going off with reading. Amy Cassandra Martinez is in here to help us with what's going off. We've done P, we've done W. Thank you so much for watching those, sticking around on Twitch. And if you're watching it on VOD or listening to it, that's all amazing. But what's happening with reading, Amy?
This is perhaps some of the cutest news. Hopefully you will receive this week. We've got children reading to therapy dogs through Zoom. And it's the cutest thing. I love it so much. So this is the Washington-based nonprofit group called People Animals Love has switched its in-person meetups to virtual sessions, obviously during this pandemic, to serve hundreds of kids per month who are practicing reading. So it's a great opportunity for kids to do that. And I mean, as you can see in the photos, it's so adorable to see the dogs be like, okay, I'm listening. There's this whole process about how to do it. But yeah, I mean, each session lasts about 12 minutes. And that just sounds like a blast. I know when I was growing up, I loved reading out loud. So to be able to read out loud to a dog sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I think they should do that for humans.
Also, like, giving back to therapy dogs. Oh, hey, Zelda. Mom, what are you reading to Zelda lately?
Well, you read to little Logs all the time, but I don't read to Zelda yet. But it's not saying that I won't. It's just saying I haven't. Would you like me to read to Zelda? I read children books on my YouTube channel, though, for Star Wars Day. Turns out I loved it.
Did you read ABC 3PO?
Sorry?
ABC 3PO? Is that one of the Star Wars children's books that you read?
No, it was Chewie and the Porgs, and it was BB-8's big sort of like adventure or something of the like.
I love it. Hi, Zelda. So this picture, Amy, that we're looking at right now is lots of people like on a Zoom call with their therapy dogs and then also children reading to said therapy dogs.
Yeah. So at the top, I mean, there's two different Zoom rooms in a way. So that's what it would look like at the top. So you see the dogs very intently listening. At the bottom, it's like you kind of just start off that way and then they just get divided off. So it's very personable, I think, you know, especially now there's virtual adoptions. So this isn't too different, except you're just reading to dogs, which is really cool. I think they should do it for older humans, like me. I'm not a kid, but I would love to. I'd love to do it.
That's really, really cute. I'm so glad that you shared that with us, Amy.
Thank you, Amy, for that gorgeous what's going off for reading. This is a chance, though, where Trish and I now talk about what we are currently reading, and we thought we would get a guest in to help us with what we're reading. Hector Navarro.
Hi,
you're
Hector.
Muted at the moment. Welcome.
Hi.
There he is. So Hector Navarro is in my book club that we have for Nerdist, and this it's something that started in October of 2016 and then ran until about February of 2019. And then we had sort of like the rest of the year off as there was a restructure. But because of the pandemic and because there was such a great demand, well, I actually kind of like applied a little bit of CPR, as I do for things that I love and can't say goodbye to, and did a bit of a Geek Bomb book club over Discord where we covered a book a month. But now Nerdist Book Club is back in action. That happens on YouTube every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And we're covering a book a month unless it's June, because June is a six-weeker, because it is a thick boy of a book. Look at that. Good. Yep.
The way you say Dune mod is almost like the way I say the month of June. It's almost the same.
Yeah, but it's a little harder at the top.
Your D almost has a flowing water quality to it. Your letter D, mine is Dune,
and yours is beauty.
Yeah, we're reading June, and there's almost a little splish splash of water in there.
Yeah, so it's not Tuesday, it's Tuesday. So anything with a U straight after it, you soften it. It's like a Y, I suppose. But how exciting has book club been?
It's awesome. It's been great. Although I wish we were reading my favorite Middle-earth character, Pablo Baggins, I think is the best character in Middle-earth. And it's underrated. Like, why weren't we reading Pablo Baggins? That's the best.
Pablo Baggins. That's what I keep saying to him. I'm like, who's your favorite character, buddy? And he goes back and forth between Pablo, who now he says is Bilbo, but Pablo and Smaug.
I
can't decide.
Too scary. Dune's been great. I've never read the book Dune, and Maude hasn't either, and neither has Rachel Hine, our other co-host. And it's been awesome because a bunch of people like that are reading it along with us. A bunch of people have read it and they're very familiar with it, and they're talking about the whole series, and they're able to like help us break it down and talk about everything about that. But a bunch of people are like, great, I've always needed an excuse to read this classic sci-fi book. So there it is. And so a bunch of people have kind of jumped on and started reading it with us. So I've been really enjoying it.
I have not read it, but I feel like everybody I know is reading it right now. Like everyone is tweeting about how they're reading Dune. So I feel like I'm missing out by not being on the Dune bandwagon right now.
The Dune buggy?
The Dune buggy.
Yeah, you missed that. last week we covered The Hobbit, which is why I brought it up a lot of the time in Power. And Hector, you hadn't read The Hobbit before. You'd only seen it, right?
No, I'd read The Hobbit, but I read it when the Peter Jackson like live action movies came out. That's when I read it for the first time as an adult. I hadn't read it as a kid or seen the other movies or animated movie as a kid. And I'm normally the guy that's like, I like to wait until the movie comes out before I read the book. I like to wait until I see the visual take on the world from somebody to kind of help me understand it more. And the cool thing about Dune is that I feel like I get both. Like, we're waiting for the new Dune movie, which to me looks very, very exciting. I'm very excited about the director. I'm very excited about the cast. Like, it looks really good. Denis Villeneuve. But before, like, we started reading chapter one, week one, a few weeks ago, I just watched the 80s Dune movie because I'd never seen it. Me and my roommates watched it. We'd never seen it. And it was a good time. And it's insanity. Yeah. But that still helped me understand, like, bigger picture, because it's a very dense world. It really is more fantasy than sci-fi, because it's 10,000 years in the future. It's so far removed that, like, I would say even stuff like, it's closer to Game of Thrones than sci-fi, like Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever. Star Wars is more relatable and closer to, like, our world. But the world 10,000 years in the future with humans and what they're dealing with and the mysticism involved and the world building, it is almost like fantasy world building. So to help me understand the bigger picture concepts and everything helped me kind of, as we're reading the book, tap into that stuff and not get hung up on like all of the different terminology and phrases, which can sometimes trip you up if you're reading something that's
like
so
the Kwisatz Haderach,
all of the mumbo jumbo gibberish. Yeah.
Did either of you audiobook this, or are you both just reading the physical copy?
I'm audiobooking it. And
how
it's
do you
really
feel about the narrator? Did I say it right?
Sorry, narrator?
Yes.
What about the narrator?
What about the narrator?
The narrator is really good. He also narrated a previous book that we did when it was Alpha Book Club, and that was the Interview with the Vampire. But they also have a cast of actors that will do and read it as if it's an audio play, which again is really helpful listening, so you can actually hear who the characters are, so that back and forth is a lot better.
I love that.
But Trisha, I want to ask you, because this is a big point of contention between Hector and I, where I always wanted to read the book before I saw the movie, whereas Hector always liked to watch the movie before reading the book. Where do you sit with that? Would you rather get your own opinion and get your own, imagination and then see someone else's version of it? Or do you prefer to see what someone else has done that will aid you in the process of reading?
I have always thought of it as reading the book only gives me more background knowledge going into the movie and then therefore enhances my viewing of the film because I have the background knowledge. So it's, for me, it's never been a question of like, you know, am I ruining the movie somehow by reading the book first or ruining the book somehow by watching the movie first? If I have the opportunity to see the movie first, like for example, Lord of the Rings is a great example. I had read The Hobbit. I had never read the Lord of the Rings books because they're hard to get through. They're written like history textbooks until I saw the movies. And then I loved the movies so much that I went and then read the Lord of the Rings trilogy. But normally, if I have the opportunity, I like to read the book first. Again, only because I feel like it informs the world. And then when I'm watching that movie or TV show or whatever it is with my friends and they're, you know, kind of stuck on a part or don't understand a part, because inevitably to condense a 1,000 page book into a 2 to 3 hour film, you're going to have to truncate things. Then you can be the one that says to your friends, oh, well, I actually understood that. If you want to know why that is, I can tell you after the movie, or, you know, something of that nature.
That's such a great perspective. And I feel like I have never heard that from somebody when discussing this, like, movie book adaptation, TV show book, whatever it is. I feel kind of similar to you, Trish, but the opposite, whereas I like to watch the movie or TV show. And then if I do the book afterwards, the book feels like the extended director's cut of the movie.
Yes.
Right? Whereas you're going in, you're like, I've done my research. I'm like, oh, I've done the cliff notes. Now I'm ready to do the thing. So that's a really interesting
thing. And I do something completely altogether where it's like, I have my version of this. I want to see what you've done, what you've committed to, if you and I are on the same page, pun intended, or like what creative license you have applied to this and how it differs from mine.
I love that, but I worry that if I were to do what Maude does, that I would be setting myself up for comparison and for the difference and for failure.
It took a little while to get over the fact that the twins weren't shorter and stockier in Harry Potter, that they were tall and lean.
Like, that bugged you?
How many redheaded twins are there in the world, though?
There were two recently that bugged me that I was like, you know, you hate to be the person that's like, but the book is so much better. But sometimes what the film does choose to leave out or change, I don't feel like add to the storytelling. I feel like maybe they were poor storytelling decisions. And I would say that 100% with the Dark Tower movie that came out, what were you even doing? What, you ruined that 100%. It was not.
That was a
bummer. People who never read the books are like, I thought it was kind of good. So maybe I ruined that movie for myself, but the books are fantastic. Please go read them. I felt like Stephen King or somebody back there trolled that movie hard. Like, they were like, let's pick the weirdest parts of the entire book series and just put those in a movie. Like, it was like, what? Anyway, that and also Ready Player One, which I understand maybe why they had to make some of the changes they did for licensing reasons.
Sure.
But the world that they paint and the way that they tell that story in the books is very, very hard to rival.
Mm.
So when I was in Ready Player One, I pictured everyone's avatars as the Xbox avatar.
That's so cute.
I was wearing blue jeans and a black shirt, and I was like, oh, yeah. Sweet, that's easy. So that's how I pictured everyone's avatar. So when I saw the movie, I was like, well, that's just realistic, isn't it?
I had a question and it completely just escaped my mind a second ago. Oh, darn. I'll try to
think
get it back
it.
Here in
think
a second.
Think about it. In the meantime, I want to shout out Ash Ridley and the Phoenix, which you guys can see right there in the image. This is a book by Lisa Foyles.
That's so cool.
Maude and Hector, do either of you know Lisa?
Yes. No, unless you say...
Not personally.
Not personally, but if you say something that she is known for, maybe I've heard of it. I don't know. What is
so
Lisa?
So Lisa Foyles was on All That as a kid, if you remember the show All That.
Okay, I remember Mary Beth. I remember Amanda Bynes. You're going to have to... Who?
Yeah, she... Redhead? She was... Anyway, Lisa, I know her personally because she then went on to make a lot of like internet content around the world of video games. So she and I got to co-host a bunch of video game content for GameSpot back in the day together. She's a very funny and witty and hilarious human being. And this is her first book. And it is a fantasy book about a 12-year-old girl who has her own phoenix. And what going through life having your own magical beast is like.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it just launched. So if you're looking for a new fantasy book and completely new IP to dive into, that my guess would be is probably family friendly. Okay. I'm not all the way through it yet, but from what I've read so far, my guess is that it's family friendly. Then that's a good one, and I wanted to shout that out because I feel like writing an entire book is such a huge achievement, and I don't know that I would ever be able to do it. So anytime I have a friend that does it, I'm like, yes, you're amazing.
That is awesome.
Yeah, Lisa Foyles being amazing. It's Ash Ridley and the Phoenix is the name of it. But yeah, Lisa is a good human. She is. Thank you, GK Gamer Fan. Just linked her Twitter in chat. And Wolfmeister says, I had no idea she wrote a book. We'll have to check it out for sure. Yeah, she's an A-plus human being. And in fact, she and I just hosted an Apex Legends tournament in Vegas this last year. So she's still in the gaming scene. And she was hosting a WWE show online for a while. That's like what she was. Yeah. That's why she lives in Vegas now, because she moved to Vegas to do that show.
Her on All That. I remember.
Yeah.
That's great.
For those that do want to join in with Dune, if you're in the same boat and you're like, oh, Dune has been on my to-read list for about 10-15 years, we are only a third of the way through. So we haven't even covered, like, we've only done it for 2 weeks, and that is the first book out of 3 books that are in there. So you can quickly catch up, listen or read, and then join us Wednesdays 5 p.m. on the Nerdist YouTube channel. Hector, have you been reading anything else on the side, though?
Yeah, tons of comic books. I just finished a Star Trek novel I was very excited about. I've been reading John Carter of Mars books from 100 years ago. A bunch of stuff. I remembered what my question is, too, and I want to ask you.
Yeah.
I have a theory, Trish, that I think the reason the Dark Tower didn't go great, and this is what worries me about the Uncharted video game movie adaptation, is that I heard somewhere that the makers or Stephen King himself of Dark Tower wanted to do not just a straight adaptation, but a sort of end-all be-all sequel to the series of books, because there's a cyclical nature in the books. And they're like, right. Well, now we're going to do a movie and it'll finally be the first time that this element in the story is different. And I worry that the same thing's happening with Uncharted, the movie with baby Tom Holland, as opposed to doing just like an Uncharted adaptation, when certain creators that have an IP that's not a movie, they say, well, we don't want to just make the movie because millions of people have already enjoyed our thing. So we're going to do it. We're going to do it different. We're going to do a different take on it. How do y'all feel about that?
I think it's very different, like having books and a text than having like a playable video game. I guess they both do establish our world building properties, but I think you can have a little.
So bit you want to see Baby Drake? You're into that idea, but for a book, you'd be like, no, there should be a 1-to-1 adaptation.
Uncharted has already done, like Uncharted 4 had a lot of flashbacks with his brother, so it's like, you know, you've kind of seen all of Nathan Drake in that part. But I think they wanted to have Mark Wahlberg or even Nathan Fillion or someone to play the older one. But this, I think it's been going around for about 5+ years. It's been panning around. So it's like they've obviously seen the success and like, oh, well done, Zelda. The likability of Tom Holland being Spider-Man, even though he did a movie with Daisy Ridley and it never saw the light of day.
Oh, yeah.
Previous question.
Yeah. The video game one is hard because I feel like a 1-to-1 adaptation of a video game is never going to be as satisfying because it's a different way to tell a story. When you are playing as the main character, you are fully immersed. You're making the decisions. You're the one going through the struggles. And I don't know that you can convey that same type of journey when then you go only into spectator mode. Whereas in a book, you can still be spectator mode. It's just, you know, which vision of your spectator mode do you prefer? But for video games, it does get trickier. And so I think you need to do something different with it. And I feel like it's probably why we haven't really had a very successful video game adaptation. Our best so far is The Witcher, in my opinion. And I know that not everyone feels that way. But
Was Prince of Persia that bad? I can't remember.
Prince of Persia? I've never seen it.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Also, people seem to like Pikachu, but that's another thing where I was like, I know somebody at some point somewhere made the decision, instead of just doing a Pokemon movie, and I heard it was Nintendo themselves. Nintendo was like, do Detective Pikachu as a movie, as like a lower risk. And so I'm kind of like, well, that's, again, it's kind of not a full on, it's not really Pokemon. It's like, it's you know, it's a different take. It's a exactly. It's a twist. And now we have Ryan Reynolds' voice coming out of a Pikachu, which is fine. But it's not it's not Pokemon.
It's not Pokemon. Yeah. Game Wizard 001 in chat just said The Witcher on Netflix was an adaptation of the books, though, not the game. And that's a really solid point. And that's probably why that feels like the most well-done adaptation, because it was a book adaptation, not a game adaptation.
Yep.
Hey, Hector, thank you so much for joining us for the reading portion of this week's Power. You've been a busy guy. Where can people find you? Because you just did a Hyper RPG show, I'm pretty sure. What else have you been doing, and where can people catch you?
You can see me on episodes of DC Daily. We're doing that from home, all the DC Daily folks. But just follow me on the internet, at Hector is funny, if you like. And it was so great to see you. Maude, I see you, and it's a highlight of the week. Trish, I haven't seen you in forever, and I miss you very much, and you're lovely, and you're fantastic. Amy, it's great to see you, too. It's awesome to see you. So I hope to see you guys soon.
Thanks for joining us, Hector. You're the best.
Bye.
Bye.
We're going to do Bombs Away, though. This is where you guys get to ask questions. Amy is going to come in. Oh, Amy.
Hector actually left us. Okay. So, yeah, we're going to.
Hello.
Hey. There you are.
Hi, guys. Hey. Yeah. So this first question is from bomber backer Steven Summers, but I will be getting one from a Twitch viewer right now. But first, yes, Steven Summers asks, what is your most memorable D&D character? And how do you think your character is doing now?
I certainly know mine.
Most memorable D&D character? Mine would be a character who, this is so nerdy. I was in high school and I was taking Latin. So, of course, I made my Air Genasi named a Latin name. So her name was pronounced with the classic Latin pronunciation, Visti Veritex, spelled Visti Veritex, and it is Latin for tornado because she was a chaotic neutral Air Genasi mage.
And cool.
Yeah, and she was my favorite. She's also the one that, if you've ever heard me tell the story about my DM killing my character because she got too high level for the rest of the party, instead of just retiring and rolling a new character, he murdered my character, and not just nicely murdered, like, oh, remember that NPC from a while back that you got friendly with? Turns out he was an incubus and you're pregnant. And when I gave birth to the demon baby, that killed my character. So there was like nothing I could even do to get out.
Most memorable character also got pregnant because I wanted to roll a performance check when I was in the sack and I got a 20 and the DM's like, what do you want to have happen? And I was like, I'm pregnant. But we utilized that because someone else in the group died, like a true death, because they set off a meteor spell accidentally on them.
Oh,
so they were dead. Yeah, like 86 points of damage. And so what ended up happening is that when I gave birth, that character who was actually the baby's daddy played as the baby who, like, because he was a tiefling and he, I think, was worshipping Tiamat or something like that, the demon baby kind of, like, grew up quicker. And so he played the father and then the son.
That's cool.
So that was really cool. But that character, her name was Lenka. I've played two iterations of Lenka. When I first played D&D in 2012 with the fourth edition, she was an assassin. And then again, 2 years ago up to last year, and she was actually, 2016 and 2017, 2018-ish. And she ended up being an assassin. And then I dual classed her as an arcane archer. So basically you could never see her. And then I would go into stealth. And so my damage was just through the roof and no one would ever touch me. It was fantastic. So I kind of loved playing a fourth and fifth edition version of this character. I have a Fungeons Reddit subreddit. And where I put up all the details and pictures and all the, you know, inspirations for all of my characters. So you can see Lenka there. But she was just so sassy and fun and I loved her backstory. But what was fantastic, and I kind of still have it on my computer, the DM when I played fourth edition was my brother's best friend from high school. And he and I have stayed in touch and he's such a legend because he's a director, a writer and an actor.
Cool.
So he's the best kind of DM that you can get. He had an NPC character in this campaign that I decided because Lenka was very starved of love. And so they ended up falling in love. And then when I moved to LA, the campaign kept going, but he still built Lenka into the storyline where the NPC and Lenka were basically spending their time together. Every single birthday, I would get an email, which was a letter from the NPC character Vareza to my character Lenka. And he was writing to her and like telling like an excerpt of like the adventures that they were up to. And it was the highlight of my life. And there's one that I have here. The tavern was packed, but Will Vareza had very little trouble finding a table as a few patrons offered their own to the local hero. The bartender waved from across the room and Vareza motioned for the usual drinks. He glanced about looking for someone in particular, but she was nowhere to be seen. And so he'll like write dialogue and like the whole play of Vareza trying to find Lenka at the prearranged bar that they were supposed to meet at. And then a brawl comes out and it's very much like a Gimli, Legolas kind of thing where they're keeping tallies of how many people that have killed, and it's like this beautiful relationship that's lasted since 2012.
How cool is that? That's so fun.
Nick. So shout out to Nick, who's amazing. As soon as lockdown happened, I was like, hi, I have a Roll20 account. We can play D&D. I don't have time for this, and I frankly shouldn't do this. Let's do this. And he didn't write back to my email.
Yay. He will someday.
This next question is from Critter Nation 3000. What are your thoughts on the rumors Disney wants to do a live-action Kingdom Hearts of Plus?
A live-action Kingdom Hearts on Disney Plus?
That makes sense. On Plus, yeah.
Is that a thing?
Ever seeing a live-action Mickey.
How would you do a live-action? I don't know how you would do a live-action Kingdom Hearts.
That's
funny. Like, okay, we have talked about how weird Kingdom Hearts is before on this show. It's very weird. I'm a huge fan, but I embrace how bizarre it is, and that's part of, it's actually a lot of what I enjoy about it, that I can bring up the merry-go-round from the center of Disneyland and murder ball people with it. I think it's hilarious. I enjoy it. And then, you know, you have Mickey going to very deep psychological places, and it's very funny to me. But how they would do a live action version of it, when a lot of the games you're like main characters are Goofy and Donald and Mickey, like,
oh my god, a live action Pluto. I guess it's just a dog, so that's okay.
I guess they could do it like Who Framed Roger Rabbit style, where it's animated and live action.
That could be fun.
Yeah, Critter Nation says they also called Lion King live action, so yeah, I'm with you.
That was just a new animation. action.
But a CGI Mickey would be weird. We haven't seen like a CGI-esque live action Mickey. I feel like that would be
pretty as they come. Yeah.
That would be pretty bizarre.
Do we have a question from
That was from Twitch.
Yeah, that one was from Twitch. So thank you, everybody, for your questions, both on Geek Bomb's Patreon and here on Twitch Asking Live. You guys are awesome sauce. So let's see. Okay, we still have Maude. You just look a little shorter.
That's all right.
That's all right. Well, thank you, everybody, so very much for watching the reading portion of Power Up. Thanks again to Hector for coming on the show because he's an amazing human being. And if you want to see Maude and Hector talk more about Dune, remember to do that on Nerdist Book Club. And yeah, thank you guys for watching.
Thanks. We're going to be back next week with a special guest. A lot of you guys who have been in the comments or subscribing or commenting down below or subscribing or following or commenting have actually requested this person. So,
yes, requested this guest. So fingers crossed. Okay, thank you, everybody. See you soon.
Bye. Thanks, Amy.
Bye, but also really not bye. Welcome back, Amy, while we just talk to everybody and say bye to the live audience that's here. You guys are awesome. Actually, I did want to ask in chat if we were to do some kind of pre-show or post-show or something like that, is that something you would be interested in seeing? Whether it's us, you know, chit-chatting while we're setting up the show or chit-chatting after the show and continuing the conversation, let us know in chat if that's something you would like. And also, I want to say thank you to everyone who followed during the last part of the break. And Brandmill White subbed to the YouTube channel. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Beertastic Yogi, thank you for the resub. And says, oh, neat, something for you to read during the break. That's the whole idea of Power Up, is for you to find something new to play, watch, and read. False Alarm Fire Truck, thank you so much for the resub. Says, love the D&D convo. We could talk about D&D for ages.
Yeah.
And maybe should at some point. We'll just do a D&D talk show. Now that my D&D talk show is on hiatus. Whoa! Classy Librarian, thank you for the bits. You're amazing. Yeah, a lot of people are saying yes in chat that they would be down for a post-show or a pre-show or both. Yes.
Sick. Cool. That sounds great.
Cool. Yeah, maybe we'll fire that up next month. Yes. Sidex says more is better with this powerhouse lineup. Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. Okay, cool. Well, I mean, this show is just as much yours, community, as it is ours. So we want to make sure that we're doing stuff that everyone enjoys. So thank you. Maude, did you want to tell anybody else about different perks on Patreon before we go or plug anything else?
$5 gives you access to the official after show for Nerdist's Book Club every single Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. PT. $10 gets you questions for this and possibly TBC. $40 gets you access to a bunch of images from a monthly photo shoot that I do. Ooh. And they're not lewd.
They're not lewd. They're just cute.
They're just cute. I did a little sundress one. Remember when we could go outside without masks?
I know.
On?
I feel like your Patreon photo shoots are very similar to like my Instagram.
Yeah. Nice and wholesome, you know?
You know, sometimes you get a little sassy, but no out and out lewds.
Tell you what, if I put on a dress that actually shows that I have like some form of shape, whew, people are like, did you know this, Maude? And I'm like, yeah.
That's because you are a sexy lady and a smexy lady. I can't smell you through the internet, but also a smexy lady.
Oh, I'll take that. Makes you so close, Meg.
So fun. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to mention before we go too, in case you missed it when I said it earlier or on Wednesday's big announcement stream, that I'm doing a huge hardware giveaway and we're going to draw winners on May 25th. So you have between now and May 25th to enter. It is a graphics card. It's a graphics card. It's a HTV or HTC Vive Pro headset, VR headset. And a copy of Half-Life Alyx. So two different people are going to win that whole prize package. And I'm really excited to have y'all win it. I hope someone that is a name that I'm familiar with from hanging around this community for a while, you know, to that winner go the spoils. So let me just go ahead and get that giveaway link one more time. I actually had it as a button that I was just going to push on my stream deck, and then when I changed it to be the power up section of the stream deck, it went away. So I apologize. Bear with me while I
You know, I was mentioning about the Amazon Prime. If you have an Amazon Prime account, you can get a free sub. I gave mine to you, Trish.
Oh, thank you, Maud. Yes, Twitch Prime is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You also get, by the way, Twitch Prime, people that aren't familiar with all the perks of Twitch Prime, you get lots of, like, in-game goodies and all sorts of stuff. Okay, here's the giveaway link. And yes, as TJ1673 just put in chat, there are two winners. So that's two graphics cards, two VR headsets, and two copies of the game that are being given away. And it is an international contest as well. So get on in there, everybody. Yeah. And Maud, make sure that you pick up all your in-game perks from your Twitch Prime.
Okay.
Get it. All right. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching. Have a wonderful rest of your day. The next time that I will be streaming is most definitely Sunday morning, but I think I might squeeze in a stream tomorrow at Little Man's nap time as well. So stay tuned, you know, hit the notifications on the channel, give a follow, all that good jazz, and I'll see you soon. Also, if you are having a hard time getting Twitch notifications, because I know a lot of people are, if you join the Discord, which if you do, command Discord in chat, join the Discord, and you can definitely get notifications there. Cool. Okay, bye, everybody. Have a great rest of your day.
Have a great weekend, bye, everyone. Bye. See you next week.
Bye.